The world is safe.
The living room's dark, save for light being cast from the big TV screen and the imminent sunrise that's teasing the one starry sky with whispers of morning.
Hey, George.
Hey, Lyons, how's it going?
It's the feelings episode.
Feelings? I have feelings, strong feelings, or not strong feelings, but I have them. They're in me, according to my psychologist.
And this little card I carry in my pocket that insists I'm normal. we got to get together over the holiday like we often do, which is always fun time. And just because of the way the scheduling worked out, I distinctly remember having an opportunity to record this episode so we could have released it earlier in January like we normally do. But we also like had an opportunity to go do something else that we wanted to like just go have like hangout time. I was like, it can wait. It can wait.
Yeah.
People will wait. And if they won't, okay. We had that one like afternoon and I was like, no, we should just go hang out. We will record later.
Yeah, we are the 1 hour hot dog vendor of podcasts. People will wait for something good.
Do you catch up on a hot dog? You put ketchup on a hot dog?
Oh, I put ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. So, you know, vomit.
The triple.
Yeah.
Do you use an insane squeeze that has like three nozzles so you can do like a little stripe?
No, I don't. But it's actually a little bit worse.
Oh, no.
With the hot dog, I just put like a little bit of the mayonnaise on the side. Right. And then I do the drizzle of mustard and the drizzle of ketchup. Right. Yeah. I actually like that taste so much, but I don't always like eating hot dog buns. And sometimes what I will do is put a little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of ketchup, and a little bit of mustard into like a small ramekin, stir it all together, and use it as a dipping sauce.
Yeah. So here's why that story is perfectly fine. You're just like, hey, I don't want the carbs. I want the protein because it'll stick to my ribs, but I don't have enough of an appetite to eat the bread right now or whatever it might be. We're out of hot dog buns, right? It could be anything.
Yeah.
If the punchline of that story had been, sometimes I mix them all together in a ramekin and eat them with a spoon.
Dude, I knew.
I don't know what I would have said.
Yeah, dude, I knew a guy in high school, man, who just literally, I was over at his house one time, he just pulled out a thing of mayonnaise, opened it, and just got out a spoon and started eating it. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, it tastes good. I'm like, one, no, but also, this can't be good for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're eating, what is it, like eggs and olive oil?
Yeah, I mean, it's just saturated fat, right? I think what I said to him was I was just kind of like, because he was like, look, man, I'm just going to do this. Or he said something in defensive. And I just said, look, as long as when you die, I get to cook your cheese filled heart and eat it. Like, it's fine.
To gain your cancer causing courage. So I think it's important as an adult, because we're about to go into the feelings episode, right? The one episode a year where none of the facts about a game's quality matters. We get to just say what we think about these games.
Well, the rules are made up and the points don't matter.
Exactly. Right. We get one every year. But I think it is. And I am being serious when I say this, like, I think it's valuable introspective opportunity for me and possibly for you to hear that story and think, well, I will occasionally want a small snack and I will stick a spoon into a jar of peanut butter. And then you have a peanut butter lollipop, right? And you lick the peanut butter off the spoon and you got a little snack. And are those things appreciably different? No. But are they like, do they feel different? Yeah. They feel emotionally really different, right? If someone, because peanut butter is kind of like a main and also sort of a condiment, right? But if someone said like, oh yeah, I just eat a spoonful of peanut butter, I wouldn't think twice about it. But if someone says I eat a spoonful of relish mustard, mayonnaise in this case, right? I would just be like, no, you're a freak. And it's like, why? Those things aren't that different. No, they're not, but I'm still judging you. Look at me go.
I'll occasionally have a spoonful of peanut butter. Oh God, do you do it with relish? Nah, I'm kind of ashamed of it. So, because obviously this is a podcast about video games, so I'm actually going to double down on this. this subject matter. I think I can justify forcing my opinions on other people. And here we go. Right.
This opinion or your opinions in general?
Well, I have a talent for my opinions in general. I'm going to try to force this opinion on other people.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yes. Okay. Here's the thing, right? Is that, so what the argument is you can scoop a thing of peanut butter, right? And eat that, and that's fine. So therefore you can scoop another condiment and eat it. And, you know, theoretically it's fine. Right. But if you were to take a scoop of motor oil and eat it, we would all agree that that's a bad idea, right? That that's gross or wrong or should not be done, right? So what is actually the difference between those two things? I would say that it is the degree of toxicity, because toxicity is all about dose, right? So the question then is, how much peanut butter could you reasonably eat before it becomes toxic? How much mayonnaise could you reasonably eat before it becomes toxic? How much motor oil could you eat before it becomes toxic? And then you put that on a spectrum, and then that's how you determine whether or not it's okay, right? So I would say that that's why eating mayonnaise out of the jar is less okay, because you will die way sooner from doing that behavior, that, or it will cause health issues and health complications way before doing the same thing with peanut butter would. So that's my throw at it.
And so to be clear, this is for, you would use toxicity as a heuristic for the acceptability of eating it by itself for condiments.
Right. Well, basically the amount of it that you should be eating.
Right.
Like really, really anything. But like the idea is that like, is whether you eat a spoonful of peanut butter or spread peanut butter on a sandwich, right? You know, is that the idea with the spoonful is it's like, okay, well, it's low. It's now more peanut butter dense, right? You know, as opposed to I'm consuming 500 calories, 200 of it is peanut butter. It's like, I am now just consuming 200 calories and 100% of it is peanut butter, right? So if you're getting most of your calories from peanut butter, that might not kill you. If you're getting most of your calories from mayonnaise, that will probably do some damage. That's the argument that I'm making.
Yeah. I like that. The only reason I was trying to maybe like overfit your model is I think a lot of people would probably have the same initial thought I have, which is it okay to eat ice cream straight out of the carton with a spoon? And the answer, I think, still does fit your model, which is yes, but you probably shouldn't get most of your daily calories from eating ice cream straight out of the carton with a spoon.
Exactly.
Just like you shouldn't get most out of your daily calories from eating mayonnaise straight out of the jar with a spoon. Yeah.
Exactly. And then that, of course, naturally brings us to video games.
Well, because if you're measuring plaque on the inside of your veins, you really want to play a game with a low score. You're not going for a high score.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So
I got the high score at the doctor. Oh, what were they measuring? Blood pressure.
Well, I've learned to raise and lower my blood pressure at will. Why would you ever want to raise it so I can lower it?
It's a party trick. I guess we have to still shill, but Do we explain what this episode's going to even be first, maybe? So,
yeah.
It's the feelings episode. So,
yep.
We play a bunch of games every year. This is actually the last year I think nostalgia games will be included, because we have shifted to a game nostalgia alternating format. But we each picked our bottom three games of the games we played this year and our top three games. And we get to go through and defend them, because it's not about facts. It's about feelings. And I swear to God, if we ever get merchandise made, that might be the first thing. Is a t-shirt that says it's about feelings. It's not about facts. It's about feelings. Something about that just really stuck with me.
And if we want to continue if I remember correctly, the new tradition that we started, I think it was last year, which is that with zero prep time whatsoever, I do the shilling for the feelings episode.
That's right. Oh, yep. Man, you...
Which I remembered 2 seconds ago, which then is still in theme because I have not prepared.
Yeah, totally on brand. You have a solid memory for, like, I think I would loosely call them, like, how traditions get started, right? Like, every tribe has one schmuck like you who's but last full moon... when we did the rain dance to make the crops grow bigger, Jonathan was on this side and this month was great, but two full moons ago, Jonathan was on that side. And so I really think that this is how, you know, like your ancestors, some of them became shamans and some of them became scientists, but it's that same pattern recognition that you're really good at.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. No, I think that, the way I kind of look at it is that it's perhaps not that skill, but more of a high number of skill points put into callback, you know? So like, so because I can't do it with a bunch of useful stuff, but if it's just like some like mindless trivia that'd be like, oh, this would be a funny callback joke, then I know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if we're going to shill, you can go ahead and reach out to us. We are on the website. Normally we'd say you can reach out to us on social media, but you can't do that anymore. Social media is absolutely dead to us. If you really want to help the show, you can leave reviews either on the Apple Podcast reviews, because that's apparently a very important thing that people care about, but also just reviews in general. We not only do they help the show, but you know, we really enjoy reading them. Also, the biggest way you can support the show is to tell a friend, tell somebody, hey, you know, like this is a thing that I listen to and I think it's kind of cool, you should check it out. But if you really want to go crazy, you can give us money. And no matter what level of money you give us, you will get something. But if you give us lots of money, you'll get your name shouted out on the show, like
our 8-bit classics. Are you going to do names? I think we're only doing names on games now, because that makes those special.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no names on this one.
Our 8-bit classics, Jacob, Yarno, Jason, John, and Kevin, and our 16-bit hero, Michael.
And for $1,000, Lions and I will get together and do a 30-minute reenactment of a movie of your choice, record it, and ship it.
Ooh. Movie of their choice.
That's... Yeah, let me rephrase it. It has to be like a movie that was released in theaters, weirdos. And,
theaters that allow children in.
Yeah, you know, and they, let's say grossed more than $10 million, something like that, you know?
Okay, that still probably leaves a really broad threat area, but it's slightly narrower than it was a second ago.
Yep, exactly.
And it's narrower in critical ways.
Yes, yeah, in ways that suddenly we didn't just get paid $1,000 to ruin our careers.
Right, and lives, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
So I think first, before we jump right into our games and why we felt the way we felt, I will quickly read the list of all the games we played so people know what we're picking from. Is that fair?
Yep. You want to do the toss back and forth on that one?
Oh, are you ready?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay.
I got this really cool friend that sent me the entire list earlier today.
Okay. So because nostalgia is its own special thing, these are all the retro games we played this year. So first we played Mario Party.
Cool Spot.
Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
Prince of Persia.
Mischief Makers.
The Crafting of Stars, known as StarCraft.
Harvest Moon.
Base Wars.
Sonic 3D Blast.
And you said the whole thing without gagging. Good job. Super Strike Eagle.
Typing of the Dead.
EVO. Search for Eden.
Marble Madness.
Diablo.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, : the arcade game.
Mega Man X. Yay, 2. Oh.
Phoenix Wright. Ace Attorney.
Diablo. 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Mutant League Hockey.
And Civilization 2. I think we've got 4 different 2s on here.
I think if you look back over the years, there's a lot of 2s. There's a lot of sequels.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, because if it's like, oh, the original was successful, now let's do a sequel. And then that's normally like, it then becomes a franchise or it then dies.
Yeah. I mean, literally the second game we played was Sonic 2.
Yep. Yeah. So basically the second game video game is it is the cocoon, right? So you have, you know, the caterpillar and then the cocoon, and it either dies on the vine or emerges a butterfly.
I like that. It's kind of dark, but yeah. No, you totally nailed it though.
Excellent. Excellent. So you want to start us off? What was your least worst?
So, yes. Yes. So I feel like we have to re-explain this every year, but it's good because it's a little confusing. Is our bottom 3 and our top 3 are least worst, middle worst,
right,
and worst,
which is
worst,
delicious,
which is delicious, and delicious, worst,
middle worst,
and then least best, middle best, best best,
best best,
because right. So numbers are for squares.
This is out of the three worst. This was the least offensive,
right, of the games we played this year. Jeez,
correct.
So for me, my least worst was Base Wars, because I remember that game way more fondly than I re-experienced it on the play. So the nostalgia goggles were pretty thick. But what I was mostly disappointed, and I tried not to let this influence my review too much, is I know I talked about it, but the amount they didn't do. It's just a baseball game wearing tinfoil. Like, it's the robots do basically nothing that is robot-y, right? Like, the ones that can float are the exact same as the ones that are on two legs, are the exact same as the ones that are on a wheel. The one that has a cannon for an arm is the pitcher, but it doesn't, when he's in the outfield or when he's at bat, it doesn't make him behave any differently. It's just, it is a baseball game that is themed with robots. And there's right. The fighting, I guess, but whatever. But like, they could have done so much more, but because of the time in history it was, and because it's a lot easier to just make a baseball game than to invent a whole new thing or to modify an existing thing, I just feel like they were banking on the theming being enough.
Oh yeah.
And frankly, it's not.
Yeah. No, that's interesting, because I can see, because when you said Base Wars, I was like, oh yeah, I kind of nothing that game, you know, but I wasn't nostalgic for it, so I don't have that level of betrayal, you know, where you know, like where it's like, oh, I love that game as a kid, and it's just, you know. And I do feel that game definitely is because that way it come out in late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. You know?
That's probably like 89, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, around the same time as like movies like Demolition Man and, you know, Judge Dredd and that kind of stuff. So it very much so, I think that they were like, hey, let's cash in on this post-apocalyptic, whatever, future, post-dystopian future. So
I do remember that. The instruction manual being very funny, but that was about it.
My least worst, which is interesting because it's not the same game, but it mirrors your sentiment, which is Super Strike Eagle.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So also one that I was more nostalgic for, right? The thing is that I remembered it being worse than it was. So I had reverse nostalgia goggles because I remember it being like impossibly difficult. And now when I went back and played it, it was playable. It was unplayable before, you know? So I was like, oh, this is not as bad as I remember. But it's still pretty bad, you know? Like, it's playable. It's not broken. But and I think, though, that the thing that one of the reasons why it nudged into the least worst is it's still, as far as playing the game, it's boring. It is boring as hell. But also, too, I just don't think that it's aged particularly well as far as, like, super power super Americans going out with one thing and go and kill a bunch of people, and it's like, yeah, that's not a great look, you know. Like, this game would never get made today, you know, or I wouldn't get made by like a mainstream, you know.
Yeah, fair. It would not be like a AAA, like, oh wow, yeah. This company we all know and respect released this game about white people shooting brown people from the sky.
Exactly. Yeah, so I was just kind of like, that'll nudge it into the top three for me.
So my middle worst is Super Strike Eagle.
There you go.
And it's the reason I felt this way, because I didn't have the, again, like you said, I didn't have the nostalgic experience you had. What frustrated me about this game emotionally is it does so many interesting things. Right. Like, the fact that you have to go back and refuel, but they only let you do it so many times. You can essentially like steal supplies from some of your targets. There's a bunch of optional targets. There's the incredibly smooth transition between like the different cameras and altitudes. Like, this is a bombing run. This is like a dogfight. This is the kind of overworld, like tokenized map. There's technologically, this game is doing a lot of incredibly interesting things. And I found it so boring.
Yep.
And yeah. That's like tragic to me, because even if you are trying to put on your nostalgia goggles and look at this game at its time in history, it's like, wow, this was, they really tried some aggressive things mechanically and on hardware that they really had to push to make it perform so smoothly and so consistently. And yet I am so bored, right? Just what's that thing you like to quote, like all that splendor and it, like, I think it's from American Dad. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
all this marvelous splendor makes me wonder why I should give it to him.
Yeah, and it's all that surging raw power makes me wonder why I should give it to him.
Yes, right? It's just like, oh, wow.
It's actually a Sideshow Bob. He's talking about the dam that he's building for Springfield.
Yes. That's the episode with the actor who plays Niles, and there's a bunch of Frasier references. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, that, right? It's just like, this is a technological marvel and a game design, you know, like total win. And I'm just so very bored and kind of frustrated.
Cannot find a part of me that could possibly care about it. Yeah, no, I think that it's kind of like the, you know, you walk to the table and there's all of this like a beautiful culinary, like experiments, you know, with an amazing hamburger, you know, with bacon dripping with cheese, but also a beautiful torte and all this sort of stuff. But as you eat into it all, it's all just desaturated protein, you know, where it's all like, it's
all like tasty wheat from the Matrix.
Yeah. So you're like, this is tasty wheat. This is tasty. This all tastes the same. And it's like, yeah, but it doesn't look cool. It's like, this is worse. My middle worst was Mario Party.
Yeah, that one was a contender, not gonna lie. Yeah,
no, and it's just because, and the thing is, I've spoken to several people after the episode, and I'm like, oh yeah, we played Mario Party, and they're like, love Mario Party. Mario Party's amazing. And I'm like, I think you might be viewing it through nostalgia goggles.
Are you know? Sure, though?
Yeah, and I was like, well, when was the last time you played it? And they're like, oh man, I played it forever when I was a kid. I'm like, mm-hmm. And played it recently? No, and it's like, it doesn't really hold up. And then they're like, no, it totally holds up. It's like, again, I have 6 years of experience doing this. So I'm telling you, it doesn't. No, I think that to me, and I don't really even want to say that this got better. It may have gotten the same or worse throughout the series, but the complete transparency in the rubber band physics, to me, makes the game entirely pointless, right? Because it's like, okay, you're going to sit there, fight, bite, claw, and scratch to get between 1 to 3 stars. And then I'm going to hand out 3 stars at the end. And it's like, well, I mean, literally, you know, the rules are made up and the points don't matter, you know, because none of it matters if, you know, the swing on the bat. I mean, it would be like, are you proficient in strength checks? And it's like, well, no, yes, it doesn't matter. It's a +1 on a D20 roll. Like, it doesn't, who cares, you know? So, yeah, I think that degree of transparency, it not only does it kind of ruin the game, but I think that also, too, is that we were getting a kick out of it because of the ridiculous, like, it's so good, it's bad. But, like, you know, you were just ripping me to shreds at one point, and then, you know, I came in and clinched the win at the end because the computer said I like George better, you know? So, yeah, that.
Yeah, it is a game that if everyone knows that whoever wins didn't really win, and you're playing with humans, right? So if you play with 4 humans, or I think the most recent one will actually do like 6 or 8, but all no CPU players, all humans, or 1 CPU player that all the humans agree to betray constantly, right? Then you could play it and have a good time. It is not a good game.
Right. Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah, is that it's you know, it's so good that it's bad kind of a thing. But what is your worst?
Sonic 3D Blast, worst, no question. Because this is the feelings episode, and that game betrayed me, and I hate everyone who likes it. You're all wrong. It's just, it's terrible. It's, it's, and if I'm trying to explain my feelings, right, I've told the birthday story several times now, but just replaying the game, like, I beat it, right? Like, I actually played all the way through. I try and finish the games we play whenever I can, but like, I did take the time to beat that game, and I was just like, this got all the way to store shelves without anyone saying isometric platforming is dumb. it's dumb and you should feel bad about it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just, it's a disappointment in basically every aspect, except maybe the soundtrack might have been okay. Sonic games tend to have really banging soundtracks, even the terrible ones. But I mean, the graphics are kind of weird because they're trying to make the Sega Genesis do 3D, which it is not capable of doing. The gameplay is garbage, and it doesn't do any of the things that to me make Sonic fun. I know there is a loyal fan base that likes 3D Sonics, and as we record this, the latest 3D Sonic, Sonic Frontiers, actually came out in the last, I think it was like 2 months ago. It was pretty recent. It was it was like around holiday time.
Did you play that?
No, because I don't like 3D Sonic, but like, I've gotten to the point where I'm no longer begrudging people who do like 3D Sonic, because 3D Sonic and 2D Sonic are just, they're different things, right? To me, the best Sonic game is Sonic 3 locked onto Sonic and Knuckles, or if you want to play a modern one, you play Sonic Mania, right? When someone's like, oh, I like Sonic 3, but I really like whatever 3D Sonic, I'm like, you're comparing apples and oranges. This is stupid to compare these things, right? Super Mario World was not supplanted by Super Mario Odyssey. They are two completely different things, even though they're both excellent, right? So the fact that this game is not a good 3D Sonic and it's not a good 2D Sonic, it's just garbage. It's just garbage from top to bottom, except again, maybe the soundtrack. The soundtrack's probably fine because they tend to knock that out of the park. But the personal betrayal of this game was what always was going to put it into this spot. So even if I couldn't justify my opinions, which I super can, worst.
Yeah, for me, worst, Sonic 3D Blast.
Yeah.
So yay, we did it. No question. I mean, a lot of the games that we played, you know, like, for example, other honorable mentions, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, you know, stuff like that, where I was just kind of like, eh, this game is just kind of, you know. Sonic 3D Blast is I think, it two things that kind of make it stand out above the rest, because I was not deeply betrayed by it, right? You know, I didn't get it for Christmas and then, you know, cry because, like, you know, I felt that I had wasted my parents' money, right? You know, I think that for me, it is one is that it's a fall from grace, right? Because, you know, you had Sonic 3 where it's like, oh, man, Sonic's amazing. And then they made this game and you're like, what did you do? You know? what is it, the thing where you know the quote better than me, but it's the that is the dumbest thing that anyone has ever said. Yeah,
it's from Billy Madison, I think.
Yeah, where it's like, we are the all thing dumber
anyone has ever said. At no point in your incoherent ramblings did you ever even come close to anything that could be called a rational thought. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Exactly. So it's just like the why we are all worse for having played this game. So there's that going from such a dizzying high to such a precipitous fall and cataclysmic low. And I just, like, imagine shipping this game out, right? Imagine, like getting ready to ship this game November 14th of 1996. Knowing that just a scant 5 months earlier, Super Mario 64 had hit shelves.
Well, they did outsource this to another team, right? There's a long storied history of Sonic games being outsourced to other teams and like the problems that has caused because of the way, not because other teams can't do good work, but because the way that handoff has been done. But add that to exactly what you're saying, right? You're this team in the United Kingdom, and it's like, oh my God, we're being handed the Sonic franchise. They just, the main team just released Sonic 3 and Sonic Knuckles. That game had music from Michael goddamn Jackson. Like, this is going to be incredible. We get to do the next entry, and it's going to be 3D. 3D on the Sega Genesis. Hey, what is that over there? Oh, no. Right? Like, so now you were already set up to fail because you're not like the core team, and look at what you're going to be compared against.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, literally, I can't imagine, you know, sitting there trying to build the levels and build, you know, the sound and the gameplay. And again, you know, figuring the development cycle, by the time this Super Mario 64 dropped, you're getting to the point where you're beyond the pale, right? You know, where you can't make fundamental changes to the gameplay, but you're like, you know, this is pretty good. It's first four-way into 3D. It's Sonic. It's not amazing, but it's okay. And then you look at the extraordinary grandeur of Super Mario 64 and be like, you know, the Sonic team said like, you know, we can do this. We've got reserves. And then they said, I know you have reserves 5-10 times at the most. I, on the other hand, am Super Mario 64, and I have only been using 1% of my true power.
1/64th of my power. Just for tradition's sake, I think we should both admit that Shredder's Revenge was our nostalgia pick. Right. It was never going to be Sifu, which is a shame. I did
Freedom
actually,
Planet wasn't bad.
I still haven't played the sequel to Freedom Planet. I am super curious about it because Freedom Planet was such an interesting game. Like, yeah, that was a better Sonic game than Sonic 3D Blast by like a million miles. So that's already like kind of got me going like, oh, huh. Shredder's Revenge.
I liked Freedom Planet, but I mean, compared to Shredder's Revenge, Shredder's Revenge, hands down, I'm still playing that occasionally with Teddy and Lizzie where, you know, we'll just hop on and, you know, just beat up on Shredder a little bit. Oh, and I don't know if I shared this with you, but Teddy and I were able to beat it on the hardest difficulty. So
nice, which is gnarly.
Yeah, I forget, tubular or something. I don't know.
It's like cool something and then gnarly, I think.
Yeah, and it was actually like a challenge. You know, there were some times where I said like, you know, hey, I let Teddy go in like head first because I'm like, oh, I think that thing's gonna hit somebody and it's gonna be Teddy because if he dies first, I can still pull out a win.
Get in there, champ. This is also the time when I will throw out that we'll probably continue this in some form, but while we still have nostalgia games in here, we are going to continue our tradition of giving away the game that we picked for our nostalgia game. So there will be a link in the show notes if you want to go and enter into the, what is the legal term I have to use? Raffle? I think it's a raffle. If you want to enter in, raffle? Giveaway? It's one of those. If you want to enter into the thing.
If you want to gamble.
If you want to gamble, it's not gambling. Legally, it's not gambling.
Super not gambling.
It's also not a lottery. If you want to enter for a chance to win the game, no purchase necessary, whatever bullshit, you know what this is. Super simple instructions. There's a link in the show notes, and you can enter for a chance to win the game. I've actually, because the way we've always had to do this in the past is most digital storefronts don't support gifting very well other than Steam. So, if you want this on like the Switch or on PlayStation, like we will still work with you. But we kind of have to take it on faith that you actually use the money to buy this game because hilariously, there's just no way to gift digital games anymore except on Steam, which is really annoying.
I mean, you know what, honestly though, man, is if somebody came, they won the contest, right? And this game's $20, right? I think if I remember correctly, right? So we send them $20 to go buy the game and then they use that for something other than the game. They needed to use it on something other than the game, you know? So
to be fair, I've always sent people gift cards for the store. I just can't send them the specific title. So if you use the money, you know, if somebody wins and they choose PlayStation, I send them a PlayStation gift card and they use it to buy a different PlayStation game. Like, okay, I guess you got us.
Yeah. Ta-da, you did it. Anyways, yes. And I think that what we could do after this is, we would set a threshold that we'd probably discuss it beforehand, but since we're kind of weaving the games that we're playing throughout the year, is that we could just pick one of the games we played throughout the year and then gift that one to be like, hey, out of all the games I played this year, this is the one I want to share with somebody else, you know?
Sounds like a lot of bookkeeping, but I do like the idea, so it might be worth it.
Well, I don't think it would be bookkeeping in the sense of, you know, like going back through. I would just literally think back. What is the game that stood out to me? You know, because that's going to be the one where I'm like, oh, I want somebody else to play this. You know,
that's fair.
Yeah. But anyways, least best. So third, number three.
My least best was Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
I could see that.
I
could see you saying that.
Right. Like I did end up having to work a little bit of technical chicanery to make it work on modern hardware. But I think for the whole review, I didn't use any modern quality of life changes. And then I played a little bit more with a few very minor quality of life changes that just like little things about the game where it's like, don't make me click 10 times if I can just click once and it'll do it. Right. So very, very tiny tweaks. This game holds up shockingly well, in my opinion. Like the feeling mechanically, I'm sure they've done lots of things with these kind of simulator tycoon games, but the feeling that I remember having and the feeling that I had when we played the game for the episode, I was like, oh yeah, yep, this is that same kind of like Master of Orion 2 one more turn, right, Civilization one more turn kind of loop where I was just like, well, I'll just make this one little tweak to the park. Well, okay, let me just watch for a minute and see if people like the changes that I'm making. And before you know it, like another hour has flown by, right? And it was just like, yeah, that is a feeling that simulator games and simulation tycoon kind of games like give you that you don't really get from like a Mario or a Mega Man or a Final Fantasy. Like I will also pour hours into those games, but it's not in that like easygoing flow. Time just kind of drifts away. And when you're done, you're not like tired or worn out. You're just kind of like, oh man, that was like a whole, I just played that for like a lot longer than I meant to. And it's just, yep. It's kind of, it's like a delightful little haze. It's like, it's the difference between getting buzzed and drunk, right? Like, you can't get drunk on Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. You can't get drunk on Masters of Orion, but you just maintain like a nice buzz. You just kind of just feel loose. It's nice.
Yeah. Yep. No, co-sign everything you just said, but with Civilization 2. which I think that literally the main difference is that I had the stronger nostalgia goggles for that one. But, you know, yeah, enjoy playing it. Even enjoy playing it. I would not go back and play it anymore because I'm playing Civilization 6, which is like Civilization 2, but with all those quality of life improvements and you know, just kind of better in every way. But that being said, Civilization 2 is still a blast to play. And I think that the thing that I really liked about Civilization 2 is honestly just how available they made the cheat codes, right? Which then again, you know, like, the thing that is always difficult about Civilization and like Roller Coaster Tycoon, which does the same thing where you just type in a thing and get infinite money or whatever, right? Is that it's very easy in these types of games to make a few decisions early on that make the whole game go sideways, but now you've lost all of those hours that you just kind of zoned out and spent. So if you go like, ooh, I made a mistake like 3 hours ago. You know what? I'm just going to turn on cheats. Undo. I am now going to make this right by my estimation of what I consider to be fair, computer. You know, and then you do it and you're like, okay, now I'm going to turn cheats back off. And then you're like, oh, wait, I need to cheat a little bit harder. So that way I'm winning again. You know, whatever, right? But it decidedly says this is the way to play the game. This is not the way to play the game. These are cheats. But I mean, cheat if you want to. Like, you know, like literally, it's not even a code. You just toggle the button. So yeah. Enjoyed it as much as I did the first time. Civilization 2 was number 3. Number 2.
The middle best. I struggled with this one a little bit more than I usually do with... Because I feel like the bottom 3 has gotten harder because as I have grown as a player, right? Like as my literacy has continued to go up, a lot of the games we played, I'm like, well, I didn't really enjoy this game that much, but it's not terrible. Like, it tried to do something interesting, or I'm just not the target market for this. So on the feelings episode, it feels bad to just be like, oh, that game sucks and you're dumb if you like it, because it's that's, I know inside that that's not really true. With the top 3, I had a similar problem where I was like, oh, this game does something that I was like kind of really into, but is it like a really good game? I was like, no. Feelings episode, Harvest Moon, middle best, because I just love that goddamn game, man. To the point, the reason I knew this one had to get this spot, specifically this spot, is because when I was typing up the list of games, right, because I was like, oh, I'm going to just type out the whole list because I need it in the show notes. I can send it to George so then he has the whole list. He doesn't have to like scroll through the website or anything. I realized I was humming to myself, and I was humming the main theme from, because Spring and Summer have the same melody. So I was sitting there like typing it out and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta put this one on my list, like, yeah. Because it's just, it's in me, man. It's just, it's a part of who I am, right? It's just a deep part of my life is apparently Harvest Moon, the original for Super Nintendo, and Stardew Valley. Like, they are just in me the way like somebody might say about like, oh, it's like Super Mario, man. Like when I think of video games, I think of Super Mario Brothers, or I think of Mega Man, or I think of Street Fighter, or I think of, you know, some classic game that they might have played growing up in the 80s and 90s. And I don't know why. I hate Animal Crossing. I think it's dumb. There are lots of farming sims that I've tried that I think are stupid, but something about Harvest Moon to me is just straight up magical. I love it.
And very well may be your nostalgia goggles, right? You know, it's like, what do you need in order for Alliance to like a farming simulator? Well, go back in time 20 years.
I've been playing a lot.
Yeah, and then fast forward, and, you know, there you go. Weird way to use a time machine, but, you know, hey, live your best life. For me, it was, and also for me, Harvest Moon, I just did not care about that game. I don't care about any farming simulator, though. So, and this is a feelings episode, right? So, I mean, that makes sense, right? Because it's like, I think that it very well may be the game's magical. And I'm like, no, I'm going to Disney for the first time at 37. Like, it's not magical. It's a theme park, you know? So for me, I didn't dislike it, but I was like, you know, it's a farming sim. I don't really like farming sims. For me, my middle best feelings episode was Diablo 2.
Yeah, I really expected one of the Diablos to make it onto at least one of our lists. It would have straight up shocked me if neither of us mentioned Diablo short of reading the list of games.
Yes. No, I think for me, Diablo 2, again, one of the things that I struggled with was the way I was playing the game was suboptimal in the sense I was playing it in half hour shots and the game's not meant to be played that way. But yeah, you know, I really loved it when I was a kid. I enjoyed it, you know, playing it now as an adult. I don't know why I find it crazy satisfying to just walk into a group of baddies and have them just throw themselves upon the wall of thorns that I am and explode in a riot of negative energy. And you know, that's just, it's fun, you know. There were a number of the grinding mechanics that I have, as I've gotten older, had less tolerance for. But also too, it wasn't, you know, at no point was I like, I gotta put some more hours into this, how we can grind up and get more powerful. I was like, no, I'm just gonna play it and, you know, squanch some bad guys. And then and go on. So, yes, for me, middle best, Diablo 2. Number one.
Best was a little bit of a surprise to me, just because I think it was a newcomer. It was not something I had actually had previous nostalgia goggles for, because it was a listener request before we moved to all listener requests. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
No, yeah. I mean, you did pour time into that, man.
It has such a it walks an ideal balance in my mind of visual novel to you, the player, actually have to do things, because for an appreciable portion of the game you are pressing A to advance text, right? You are reading a book with pictures, and I'm okay with that because I like turn-based JRPGs, so like that is not a thing I find off-putting. But I do like my games to have some game in them, and the reason I haven't actually gone to play some of the later entries in the series is because they apparently started to add more and more gamey mechanics. So now there's like, oh, you have to get a confession out of someone, and you have to do it by like playing this little mini game, or you have to, you know, find these clues by playing this little mini game, or whatever.
Did they add too much video game to your video game?
Yes. Like, because I don't think it's disingenuous to say it's not a video game. It's a visual novel. It's a visual novel, right? And I didn't think I really particularly cared for visual novels before this, but I just, the writing, the art direction, the music, everything about this universe just fired on all cylinders as far as I'm concerned. And I think I said when we played the episode, or when we recorded the episode, that by the time we recorded the episode, I was actually all the way through the second game in the original trilogy and was moving on to the third. So like I enjoyed this game so much that I just treated the trilogy as one single like 35 hour experience. So I kind of don't want to go play the later ones because I don't think they will be as good based on the way people have described the added mechanics and what it is I feel like I get out of these games. I love the characters. I'm sure the writing is still good. But I don't know, man. Like, I think it might be for me personally, like it might just be this little beautiful trilogy of games. And then there's a bunch of stuff that the author's son wrote after he died. And it's not the same as the original Foundation trilogy. Stop pretending that it is. Like, I'm sorry, Christopher Tolkien. I'm sure you're a nice guy, but you're not your father. So stop writing books. Like, it's just.
Yeah. So at least stop writing Lord of the Rings. Like, yeah,
just leave it alone.
JR. Yeah. No, I agreed. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the Phoenix Wright game. It doesn't surprise me that it came out as your best because, yeah, like I remember as we were talking about it, you said, I was just, you know, digging a little hole in my backyard. And then, you know, your Bart Simpson in that episode where it's like, what are you doing? Digging a hole. Why? Did they have a hole? For what? More digging. You know? Yes, it's like, you know, playing a video game. Why? Play a video game. To do what? More video game? It's like, I mean, okay, but the episode's over. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, my best, StarCraft, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And StarCraft was one of the games that I looked at and said, this does a lot of interesting things and it does a lot of them very well. And I don't like real-time strategy games all that much, I think.
Yep. So, you know, again, feelings. And again, this is also in part because, you know, I played it. Not only did I play a lot as a kid, not a tremendous amount, but it was nice to go back and play it and realize that I am not as bad at it as I remembered because I'm an adult now and I'm not playing against a bunch of teenagers who have exclusively played it and I'm green as hell. Right. You know, because that was most of my experience was, you know, I'd be playing and then all of a sudden I would just get my, you know, butt whomped and I'd be like, what the hell happened? And it's like, oh well, I'm not great at, I don't have a lot of hours logged into video games in general compared to now. And you know, like I'm not spending hours in the computer lab just running this simulation over and over and over again. I really enjoyed going back and playing the going through the story, remembering what all the different units did. Apparently this is something I really enjoy. I liked having easy access to cheats because the minute that the game stopped being fun for me, I could make the game fun for me again, right? There was at no point where I hit like this weird frustration wall of like, oh man, I've just spent 30 minutes building up this thing, but I forgot to build anti-air defense and now they came in and just ate my lunch. It's like, oh, I forgot to build anti-air defense. You know what? Everybody's invincible. Hang on. Let me fix this problem. You know?
wait, hang on.
Hang on. Time out. Time out. Okay. I've got all my military. Okay. Time in.
Oh, dude. This is a quick aside, but, you know, in Doom, you type in, I think it's the letters.
IDDQD, IDKFA, and IDClip. Yes.
Yeah. And it's IDDQD is God mode.
It's God mode.
Yes.
IDKFA is all of the weapons and ammo.
Yep. Yes. So, apparently PC was your console for cheating. I can't remember which game it is, but there's a game that's like a Doom clone. You know, mm-hmm. It's the same kind of mechanics like a lot of games at that time are Doom clones.
Chex Master.
Yes, it is that one. It's a Doom clone, but the theming is like the reverse. Like instead of you are trying to like stop demons, it's like you are a demon, right? So it's like the point of view, I guess, is kind of reversed. And apparently one of the Easter eggs in that game is if you turn on God mode, you die because you're a demon.
That's amazing. No, I like that. But yeah, I do think that in old school video games, like the cheat codes were the assist mode, you know? And so, I like that. And also too, you know, I really enjoyed with the video game is when, you know, all of a sudden a bunch of bad guys would run into my base and I just have one Marine go down there with God mode turned on and just slowly whittle them away. And I'd be like, oh yes, emotionless computer. Look at this thing I did to you. Isn't that humiliating?
What is it about? Is it maybe because PC games from this era were more complicated than console games from this era, but there is something very childish, like kicking over a sandcastle, burning ants with a magnifying glass, kind of like, haha, I have destroyed this thing. And you haven't really proven that you have any power, right? When you turn on God mode and your one Marine, like slowly, oh so slowly marches through an entire Zerg colony, like it's stupid and it's you're not proving anything, but it's fun as hell. Like, it's just,
it is.
You wouldn't do it hour after hour, but like a couple times, like, it is really funny to just watch him and they're just all trying to kill him and failing miserably, like
working so hard. And you just imagine that they're just like, what is happening? You
know, that's it. That's, I think, a big part of what's enjoyable about it for us is that projection, right? Because we're imagining the Zerg just being like, oh no.
How do I deal with this? I think it's a mixture of the projection, but you know what I also think is, I think it scratches the same mental itch as shooting zombies, in the sense that, like, there's no moral negative because they're already dead, right? You can shoot, you know, waves and waves of demons and all this sort of stuff, but when you're shooting insurgents, it's like, well, now you're killing people, right? So with this, it's like, I get to show extreme humiliating dominance on another thing that has no drawback, right? Like, I'm not hurting anyone's feelings. This is all for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically is, you know, the nice thing about that is that once you turn those cheat codes on, they just keep sending wave and wave. But if they wanted to build an army, they would have to come after you. They would need to spawn more overlords.
The curtain falls. The music plays. The credits roll. Then it all fades to black, and you're left by yourself. The fanfare is gone. There's no player two there by your side to share victories won. But as you slowly progress down the hall to your bed, a few great events leak back into your head from the time that you spent traversing the land, battling evil, fighting the darkness, just sword in hand. Your memories creep in with the edge of a smile. You realize again what you've lost for a while. You're gonna think back much less on how you saved the day.